and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way, to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. But they were joyful. They were told to be joyful because they understood the words of the Lord. And the phrase I want to talk about most of all is in verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the joy you give us. And Father, I pray that we would be a people, a church full who shows forth this joy in our hearts and our lives and on our faces, Lord. I pray that we would be a mirror of your joy. And Father, I pray that you bless now this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a story of coming to church and being in church. And I want to just mention real quickly in passing and get over that point, this point, that yes, there was crying, and yes, there was weeping. In this case, they were weeping because they finally understood God's law, and they were weeping because they had not kept it. And it was a mournful thing to find out that they had not kept God's word. And of course, when we come to church and we have a service and we have a sermon and the preacher preaches and God speaks to us and God says, hey, you haven't been doing this, or you have been doing wrong in your heart, in your life, or you haven't been doing this that I want you to do. And God speaks to us and says, you need to change. You have not been doing right towards me. Then there is some mourning. There could be some grieving time there, some sadness. Okay, so there can be some sadness when we come to church as far as, Lord, I'm sure sorry I did that, or I'm sorry I have been failing you in this area, and please help me to get better in that. Help me to do right in this area. And so we can be grieved at the invitation time when God has spoken to our heart. But overall, coming to church should and ought to be to each one of us a joyful thing. And when we come to church, do we look like we want to be in church? Do we look like we're glad to be here today? There's a lot of folks, and I'm going to just use the word that in general, I'm not going to point out any names or try to embarrass somebody today, but there's a lot of people that go to church nowadays that come to church and act like, well, I'm here. I wonder what kind of blessing God has for me today. And that they kind of look like that the whole day. It's like, there's Mopey. Mopey came to church again. Does he want to be here in church? Does he enjoy coming and being with God? The Bible says here, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we come to church, we are meeting with God, and that ought to be a joyful thing to a Christian, someone who's born again. You are coming and meeting with God here today. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some things about God that we should be joyful about, or that we can be joyful about. Look at verse 3 again. Let's see. No, I'm sorry, verse 6. It says, the beginning of the verse says, And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. We have a great God that we are meeting with today. We have a wonderful Lord that we serve, and He loves us, and He is here with you and I right now. Do you realize that when you come to church? Let's look at some other verses in the Bible about the wonder of God, the wonder and majesty and awesomeness of God. Look, turn with me to Psalms. There's a lot of verses here in the Psalms that we're going to go to. Go to Psalm 5 to begin with. We're going to try to go in order through the book of Psalms. So I'll try to start low and go high here through the numbers of the chapters. Psalm 5, verse 11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee," that thee is referring to God. Do you put your trust in God today? Then this is talking about you and me. "Let all those that put their trust in thee," God, "rejoice." Rejoice. You have a happy expression on your face. Be glad and joyful. Notice the next phrase. "Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them." Excuse me. "Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Be joyful in thee. You ought to have a smile ready on your face when you come to church because of who you're meeting with, because of who God is. It says here in this verse that God defends you and I. What a blessing that is. God is my defense. And I don't know about you, but understand, when you say God, you are not talking about some impersonal person way, 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 way so far that he really doesn't know what's going on in your life. No, you're talking about Jesus, your beloved friend who lives within you. He's right there with you. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And he defends you, the Bible says. He is your defender. Not only that, but who is he? Jesus is the creator of the universe. The creator who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Who said, "Let the dry land appear," and the dry land appeared. Who put the stars in the cosmos. All the cosmos is in their places. The different Milky Way galaxies. The different galaxies out there. And every star, he hung them in their places. This is who we're talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. He is your defender. He's your defender. Are you joyful in that this morning? He's meeting with you and I right here, right now. That awesome, omnipotent defender. Go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. This is just a reminder, general reminder, of how much we should be joyful in God. Psalm 16:11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Fullness of joy. You should have your heart full of joy when you come to church. When you start talking about God and thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart should be bursting with gratitude and joy. He gave you eternal life. He gave you every pleasure that we ought to enjoy, every righteous pleasure. You have eternal life. You have a home in heaven. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A great defender. There are joy. We ought to have fullness of joy in his presence here at church today. Psalm 28, please. Psalm 28. We don't want to be a bunch of people that come into church moping. We want to have a ready smile. We want to be revealing or mirroring the joy of God. Do you like to be here in church? Then why are you looking like you just lost your best friend? Jesus hasn't died. Your best friend is still alive. Your best friend is still in your heart. You have not lost your best friend. Don't look like this is so terrible, so trying to be in church. When is the preacher going to get done? When can we have some food? The attitude shown forth by God's people needs to be that of rejoicing, glad to be in church, looking forward to what the sermon has for you, and being and partaking in the songs. And being a blessing to each and other, every other one that's here today. When we sing, we are blessing the other person, the other one sitting there next to us, singing God's praises and God's singing God's praises and talking about the goodness and greatness of God in the songs. And so as we worship God, we are to be blessing each other with partaking in the song service. But Psalm 28, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 28, verse 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Ah, we're to praise him with our songs. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Blessed be the Lord. Another thing you can rejoice in God about is God hears your prayers. God is not too big and too far away to hear your cry. To hear the simple prayer of faith, Lord Jesus, save me. Or to hear the simple cry for help from his child, Lord, help. I need your help right now. I don't know how to get out of this situation. Or there's danger. I'm careening down the highway and I'm skidding on the highway. Lord, help. God is right there. He hears our supplications. That is a big fancy word. Supplications is a big fancy word for our askings. Our askings. Asking and praying for God to help. Lord, just would you please help me today? Help me to do right. God hears that. Isn't that a blessing? That the great God of the universe hears your cry and your prayer. Praise God. And I am helped. I am helped. God has helped each one of us. And maybe you can't think of an instance, maybe especially you younger ones, cannot think of an instance right off the top of your head where God has obviously helped you. But be sure God has helped you as you are sitting in your daddy or your mommy's vehicle, and God has kept you safe on that highway. You were helped as you got to church this morning. God did not allow you to get into a car wreck. There are so many things that could go wrong in the blink of an eye as we travel down the highway. Just the wrong person doing the wrong thing and being intoxicating and swerving into our lane. Or just a little linkage in the car snapping, and so the steering wheel just goes out of whack and you careen off the highway. Anything, it can happen on the highway, but God has helped you and I. He is our help. And it says, I will praise him. I will praise him. I will rejoice because of that. We need to be a people of joy, mirroring the joy of the Lord. Psalm 32 now, please. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Verses 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. You know, there's a lot of people that come to church as if that statement applies to them. I'm so sorrowful today. Woe is me. Lord, would you please get me out of the depths of despair today? Why are you in the depths of despair anyway? Why did you even get there, Christian? Many sorrows shall be to the righteous. No, to the wicked. To the wicked. The righteous should not have many sorrows. There are not many sorrows for us to be going through. Yeah, maybe there's one or two or three or four or five hard things you're going through right now. But God is going to see you through them. God is going to walk with you all the way through them. And what great, 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 great sorrow do you have to look forward to like the wicked have to look forward to? Not a thing. You have great eternal joy to look forward to. You have a home in heaven to look forward to. You can look forward to being in his presence for all of eternity. Yeah, we have this life to go through. We might be here 70 years, 80 years, whatever. And it's hard. And there are sorrows. But put your eyes on heaven. Put your thoughts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to encourage you, and you won't be down in the depths of despair. Oh, all the sorrows have compassed me about. No, the sorrows are for the wicked, for the wicked. Notice verse 10, it goes on. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. It's just like Peter, the picture of Peter walking on the water. When he asked, Lord, can I walk to you on the water? Jesus said, sure, come on. Come. And so Peter got out of that boat and he was keeping his eyes on Jesus, and he kept stepping out there. And he was doing fine. And the God's mercy was with him until he decided that, wait a second. Look at all the boisterous waves. Look at the big wind. And that wave might knock me off my feet. He took his eyes off of heaven. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And that is when the sorrows began to overwhelm Peter. And he began to sink in the lake there, but Jesus showed him mercy again, and he pulled him back to the surface there. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And notice verse 11: because of that, be glad in the Lord. And rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We need to be showing this on our face, that we are the child of God. I've been forgiven. And this is very important with this parade coming up, by the way, that we don't walk through this parade or be on a float or be the driver of the float or anywhere in the parade with a big sour expression on our faces. Okay, kids? This is one reason why I'm talking about this today. But I'm also trying to encourage us about coming to church, too. Us being in church. Visitors. When visitors come and they see a bunch of joyful people that are happy they're in church, they're going to be impressed. Oh, there's a reason that I should want to come here. There's a reason that I should want to come here, too. All of these people, I can see, want to be here today. So what is it that's making all these folks want to be here? I want a part of that. But if we go to a church where, we're all waiting for it to end. It's been long enough now. We should go home and go eat. I'm hungry. You're hungry. We're tired. And it's been a long week. And so, this is just the way we look because of the circumstances of life. No, don't let the circumstances be what shows on your face. The joy of the Lord ought to be what shows on your face. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, I was wondering if I was getting anywhere. Psalm 35, please. Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 27. Again, talking about believers and Christians and those that trust in God. Verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause, God's cause. You're on the cause of right. Praise God for that. We know the last page of the book. We know that our God wins. All the wicked plan of the devil and how he's controlling the different storylines, I should say, that you hear nowadays, and the fact that the world is losing its standards, and wickedness is becoming right, and righteousness is becoming wrong. Yeah, that's terrible, and that's very depressing. But we have the last page. We can rejoice that God is going to fix all of that one day. God is going to judge those who say right is wrong and wrong is right. Praise God. Not one single person is going to get away and get away from God's judgment. Not one single person is going to get free and get away with doing wrong. God is going to make sure that the righteous are blessed and the wicked are judged. Let them shout for joy that and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Notice another reason why we can rejoice. The great God of heaven takes pleasure in my prosperity. Your prosperity. The great God of heaven. He is concerned with what goes on in your life. He takes note of the bad things that he has allowed to come in. And he wants to bless. He wants to bless. He wants you and I to prosper. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Praise God. And because of that, verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. My mouth, my face should mirror the blessings and joy of God. Go to Psalm 149 now. We're going to skip way forward and move along. Psalm 149, second to last psalm in this book. 149 verse 1. Again, if you look through the last few psalms, the last few all start with the same word, or the same phrase, actually. I think the same phrase. Yeah, the same phrase. The last, from 146 onward, the last five, all start out with, praise ye the Lord! Praise ye the Lord! Praise ye the Lord! Praise ye the Lord! 149, praise ye the Lord! Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You and I are not the children of Israel, but we are the children of Abraham, and as such, spiritually, we're the children of Zion. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous king, the sinless, perfect one, sitting on the throne. He is the Lord of our life. He doesn't let anything into our life that is not for our good. And he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us, and he loves us. Excuse me. We have no reason to be unjoyful at all. No reason at all. Isaiah, please. Isaiah 12. The joys and the awesomeness of our God. God is our Savior, our Defender, our Friend. Oh, the depth that you could look just trying to study those three things out. The fact that God is our Savior, our Defender, and Friend. You would be studying that forever. How great and deep God is. And the joys thereof because of it. Where am I going to? Isaiah 12, please. Isaiah 12. The joy we have because of the goodness and greatness of our Savior. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. That is alone the awesomest thought. The God of heaven is my salvation. My salvation. Wicked, little, terrible, wretched old me. God in heaven is my salvation. Oh, meditate on that one. And that'll take all the depression away. God is my salvation. Praise God. I will trust. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Another reason to rejoice. You don't have to be afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the Bible tells us. You don't have to be afraid of circumstances. You don't have to be afraid of people. The Lord Jesus is your defender. You don't have to be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, what a verse to refer to coming to church. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's why we're here today. We want to draw water from God's endless and bottomless well of salvation. We want to see what blessings that God has for us here today. That's why we're here. The joy of coming to church, the joy of hearing the Word of God preached, the joy of having God instruct you and instruct me and teach me, the joy, does it show on my face? Does it show on yours? Am I glad to be here in church? Or do others wonder what's going on in her heart? What's going on in his mind? Do they want to be here today? Oh, how we ought to be joyful when we come to church. Isaiah 61. And verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will rejoice in the Lord. No, it says, I will greatly, greatly rejoice in the Lord. Are you greatly rejoicing when you come to church? You should be. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ if you've been born again. He has clothed you with a garment that is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The wonders of God being our Savior, Defender, and Friend. The joys of this. One more. Joel chapter 2, please. Not one more for the sermon, but one more on this point. Joel chapter 2. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. Simply referring to the physical needs, our physical needs. God will take care of our physical needs. As that verse in Matthew talks about, and I've drawn a blank as soon as it came to mind. Somebody help me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the physical things of the world that we need, our needs, all these things shall be added unto you. God will bless, will take care of our needs. God takes care of our needs. Oh, the joy we can have just in that alone. God's concerned about my needs. God's concerned with meeting my family's needs. I, as a father, as a dad, as a husband, don't have to be all fret and worried about it. I need to do my part, sure. But I don't have to get kinked into a knot about the fact that I have to provide for my family. I wonder how I'm going to do that. God is concerned with that for me. What a blessing that is. The joys we have in our God. The fact that he is our Savior, Defender, and Friend. And lastly, if all that isn't enough to rejoice over and to change your attitude and to cause you to have a smile on your face all the time, but especially in church, if that's not enough, what has God given us, tangibly given us about himself? We've got his very word. God didn't send us out into the world, didn't create Adam and Eve, and then just shove them out into the world with no instruction. God was teaching them through those days that they were with him in the garden, and he didn't give us today. He didn't send us out into the world without instruction either. He gave us the guidebook for life. He was telling Adam and Eve to teach their children his ways. And he was telling them about his goodness and his righteousness and how to please him. And God did the same for us. He gave us a guidebook. And we ought to be rejoicing that we have the Bible today. Oh, how many people throughout history and still today in foreign countries don't have a Bible. They've got just little snippets of God's Word, phrases here and there to hang on to. And then they wonder, I wonder what the rest of it is. I wonder what the rest of that book says. That Jesus loves you and Jesus saved you, or whatever they have. They have this little snippet of truth that they can hang on to and get saved by. And then they wonder, I wonder what else, what other treasures does God have for his children just in his word that I wish I could read. I wish I could see what God has. You and I have that, his whole word from beginning to end. And we ought to be rejoicing in that. Psalm 119, 162. Psalm 119, 162. Now I'm going to go backwards in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice at thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Great spoil. Oh, the blessings of God. Back in right after the King James Bible was printed, King James made sure that every pulpit in England had a Bible, and they would take this, the big Bible. It was, every Bible back then was really big because of the situation, the printing and everything. But it'd be a big, heavy book, and they would chain it to the pulpit. Chain it to the pulpit so that it wouldn't get stolen because it was really expensive. And that was the only Bible, usually, in that congregation, was the Bible chained to the pulpit. And if you wanted to read God's Word for yourself, you had to go to the pulpit, to the church building, and stand there and read it. And when somebody else wanted to come, you had to share it. And when somebody else came, they had to share it. You don't have to share your Bible with me. You don't have to share your Bible with your brother or your sister. You don't have to share your Bible with the whole church. You have your own. You have your own treasure in your own hands, on your own desk, beside your own bed. Oh, are you reading it? Do you consider it great spoil? Do you rejoice that you have God's Word? Verse 111 of Psalm 119. Verse 111. Thy testimonies, and that's another word for the laws and instructions of God. So it's another word for his word. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. They are the rejoicing of my heart. What's important to you, young person? What's important to you? Well, I sure hope Dad and Mom make a lot of money in this life and leave me a good inheritance, because I'm going to need it someday to be able to buy a house. Is that what's important to you? I have a feeling you might be disappointed. I have a feeling you might just be disappointed in that hope. We're not exactly rich around here. But what's important to you? What do you grab onto you and say, this is my heritage. This is what I am inheriting from my mom and dad. This is the valuableness that I'm going to take with me all my life. Is it your last name? Is it your family, your extended family? That's really important to me. Where I come from and who was my ancestors and who around me is related to me, that's really important to me. No, it ought to be God. God is my heritage. God is what is important to me. Being on his side is important to me. Being his child, being right with him and walking with him daily, that's important to me. That's what's important to God. God says that's a good enough heritage. That's the greatest heritage of all. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Talk about lasting heritage. God, we're going to get into a few verses in just a second about the Word of God lasting forever. That's a lasting heritage. God's Word, making God's Word your heritage. Your last name could perish. Your family members could all die out. God's Word, and by the way, they will one day. It's just, will they have children to keep on that last name? But anyway, everybody's going to die one day. Everything in this world is going to come to an end. One day there's not going to be any more children born. Everybody's going to be either in heaven or in the lake of fire. There's not going to be an earth like we know it today. Everything we see around us, everything that we inherit, aside from the spiritual things that we can inherit, like the Word of God, all that we see around us is going to be gone. Going to be gone. And you can't take it to heaven with you. What is important to you? I sure hope what goes to heaven is what's important to you. What goes to heaven? The Bible is going to go to heaven. You are, I hope, going to go to heaven. Your children, your family members could go to heaven. Your loved ones could go to heaven. Your friends could go to heaven. The strangers around you meet on the road could go to heaven, but nothing else. Not a thing. Not a thing else goes to heaven. We can rejoice that we have God's unbreakable Word. The law of thy mouth, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is that your attitude? I would rather read God's Word than go to work today and make $1,000. That ought to be our viewpoint. I have got to read God's Word today instead of going to work a few minutes early. Got to read God's Word. I've got to read God's Word before I put my head on that pillow, or else the whole day will be ruined. One way or another, if you read it before you go to work or after you come home from work. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Jeremiah 15, please. Jeremiah 15, 16. And going back to coming to church, this God's Word is why we're here at church. To hear the Word of God preached. This should be a precious time to you as a Christian. Hearing God's Word expounded publicly from a pulpit. This should be precious to you. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found. And by the way, that's what had happened in Nehemiah's time. They had refound God's Word and they had dusted it off. They got it out of the cupboard where it was stored forever and where it was ignored. They dusted it off and they read God's Word and they mourned because they hadn't kept it and they hadn't known what it said. But you and I don't have to be like that. Our Bible is right there, ready. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Do you consume God's Word? Not physically, of course. We don't eat the pages of God's Word. It's being metaphorical here. And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Oh, to be called after God's name. I don't care what my last name is, really. I care what my spiritual last name is. A child of God. Child of God. All we have in God should cause us to rejoice greatly. And not only do we have it, but it is absolutely certain. You know, you pick up a book, you pick up a dictionary, or even a science book, or a history book, any book other than the Bible. You pick it up, and it's supposed to be a factual book. You know what? They might rewrite it someday. They might find out some new information that changed the facts in that book. And so that book is no longer relevant. It was sharing a lie without realizing it. God's word isn't like that. It is absolutely truth. You will never find anything in the world, no archaeological evidence, nothing that will go against God's word. God's word will not change. God himself will not change, and he won't change his word. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The word of God we have is settled in heaven. It doesn't change. Concerning thy testimonies, that first one is Psalm 119, verse 89. This next one is Psalm 119, 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. God's word is founded forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever, forever. And lastly, 1 Peter 1:25. I know I'm going quick here, I'm out of time. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Forever. And then he goes on and finishes his verse here. He says in 1 Peter 1, verse 25, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Praise God, you are in a church that preaches God's word. What a blessing that is. What a privilege it is to hear God's word preached from the pulpit publicly. So many lands don't have that. So many people don't have that freedom. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is his joy reflected on our countenance? We need to be a church that reflects that joy. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for all the great blessings, benefits, privileges, goodnesses that you've bestowed and showered upon us. Father, help us to be a grateful people, always considering the goodness that you have given to us, how good you are. And Father, I pray that you would help us to have that gratefulness reflected on our faces, on our countenances, especially as we go out this week and share the gospel. But every week, every time we leave our homes, be aware that my countenance ought to be a reflection of Christ. As I come to church, my countenance ought to be a reflection of how grateful I am to be in God's house with him here today. For others are watching. Yes, God sees the inward, but man does look on the outward. Man cannot see the heart. And so many men need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, help us to be good testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.